If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 6, we're continuing our series on how to stay on fire for God. And the Bible says that our Lord is the light of the world, and we are lights in this world. And also, the Lord said of John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. And we certainly ought to be a burning and a shining light. And so how do we maintain? You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? How that they all had lamps, but only 5 were prepared that had oil in their lamps. And whenever the other 5 ran out of oil, they went bustling around trying to find oil for their fire, right? And there was none to be found. And they were excluded from the marriage feast. The 5 that had the extra oil were allowed to come in and participate in the wedding ceremony. Now, again, it's just a picture of how important it is to be the light. Don't let your light go out. Don't hide it under a bushel, but let your light be set up on the top of a hill so everybody can see it. That's what we're talking about, staying on fire. We're not talking about these manufactured things. I get wearied sometimes when I see preachers running all over the place and jumping on pews and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and they say, "I'm on fire for God tonight!" You know, and it just looks, you're just waiting for something bad to happen. Tabernacle Baptist had a pew jumper. There were a few of us that would go to Sunday night services there at Tabernacle Baptist. I went one time, and the pew jumper was active that night. And he climbed across all the pews, jumping, and went and came up to the pulpit and threw himself up onto the pulpit, grabbing the pastor, holding on to the pastor. And he kept saying, "I'm on fire! I'm on fire!" And the ushers had to come in and pull him off the pulpit and take him outside the building. And I don't know if they hosed him down or what, but that was just a fair show of the flesh. That's all that was. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being a genuine light for God. Your lamp on fire. Not manufactured fire, but from the oil of the Holy Spirit deep down inside, a light to others. Last time we looked at the principle of nurturing a daily, moment-by-moment prayer life. Pray without what? Ceasing. We looked at Psalm 63. Same attitude there. Developing that, growing that, wanting to spend more time with your Lord, talking to your Lord. Do you know you can do that when you're driving your car? Now, people may think you're nuts, but you don't necessarily have to move your lips if you don't want to. You can just be talking to Him. When you're vacuuming the floor, when you're doing chores, just talking to the Lord. That's all right. Developing that spirit. Secondly, tonight, we're going to be dealing with staying rooted in the Word of God. And I want to draw your attention to Proverbs 6 and verse 23, where we read, "For the commandment is a lamp," literally a fire. "For the commandment is a fire, and the law is a fire, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." We have forever linked in the Scriptures the Word of God as the light. Turn over to Psalm 119, 105. All of you are familiar with this verse. Many of us, growing up, memorized this verse and several others from Psalm 119. But look over at 105 for just a moment. Everybody can say this by heart. Would you say it with me aloud, please? "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Literally, it is a fire unto my feet and a fire unto my path. Because what did they do? I've heard all these things. Well, they had little candles in their shoes. That's not true. That is a false story that for years and years I heard. And it was like, how does that work with oil and you're walking and it's sloshing and putting out the fire? It doesn't work. What did they use? A torch. They used a torch as they walked along the path, and it gave light. A little tiny light attached to the shoe In no culture has that ever happened. You understand that? Somebody said, oh, that would be a cute little thing. They had little wooden shoes and they had a little candle on the top. That didn't happen. That is a misnomer that somebody has put forth on the church, and we're dumb enough not to research it and find out. They used a torch to walk down the pathway, and it shed light. As the years passed, they had torches with reflectors. Isn't that a novel thing? Do you realize that the early lighthouses were nothing but mirrors and light from either natural gas or whale oil, and it just reflected out, and it would go out 12, 13 miles. It was a fire. The picture here is that if we have the fire of God's light, it will light your path, and it will show you where you ought to go. But you have to have the light with you. Correct? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shines, but I have to have it with me. It doesn't do any good to go out into the dark and say, I wish I had a light with me. Right? This spring, I was coming home from the ballpark. It was rather late. And I parked my truck. I got out. And just as I'm getting out, a deer comes flying by me. Just about got me. And he just kept right on bounding and he kept on going. There was a fox out in your backyard the other night, prowling around. My wife saw it, scared her half to death. And this fox, I think, was after your little bunny rabbit that lives out there. But, you know, there's all kinds of things that creep out in the dark, right? I don't like to go out in my backyard without a light. Now, I've got a battery-powered light, a motion sensor. So when I go out to my shed, boom, it turns on, and I've got light where I can see whatever I need to see. But without light, you can't see very well. The point is, have the Word in your life, in your heart, and it will act as a light to show you how important it is to memorize the Scriptures. I remember when we had the convalescent centers of seeing the dear folk that could not see anymore but knew the hymns. They wouldn't take a hymn book, but they knew the songs, and you'd see them singing out, and some of them knew all the stanzas. It was a blessing. They had memorized them as kids at church. Many times whenever I would start a Bible verse, they would say it right along with me. Do you know how rarely that happens these days? Where you start a Bible verse, and you know, we're not hiding the Word in our hearts very much. We're not meditating where we're actually memorizing the Scripture, and we can recall it in those moments when we don't have the book with us, but you can recall it from your heart and mind. I have to say that I thank God for my parents and for this church that insisted that we memorize Scripture. The school, the church, we were memorizing Scripture all the time. We have theme verses in our school. In our chapel services, I always take the theme verse of the school for the year and I do a series of messages on it. And I make them say it with me at the beginning of chapel. All right, put your Bibles up. We're going to say our theme verse for the school year. I have copies I gave out to them. It was supposed to stay in their Bible so they could memorize it. And by Christmas time, they all had it because we kept repeating it. Okay? Kept repeating it. That's important. That we hide the Word in our heart so we'll have it. John McCain tells the story of Jeremiah Denton. Anybody ever heard the name Jeremiah Denton? POW with John McCain. Jeremiah Denton had memorized Scripture as a child. And oftentimes he would etch it out where he could on the walls. And there were POWs that sometimes they would switch the cells or take them and put them in a box for a while. And others would go into their cells and there'd be Scripture verses on the wall that Jeremiah Denton, and some of them came to faith in Christ and said, I owe my eternal soul to a man by the name of Jeremiah Denton. By the way, he still lives on, although he's passed many years ago. There is the Denton program. He left his money from his life, his retirement, everything, to fund the United States military so that people could send missionary goods, food, Bibles, whatever, on aviation flights at Air Force bases. They can fly into these countries, and they're allowed to carry this stuff because it's sponsored by Jeremiah Denton. These access countries that we don't have access to, but they would fly in. It's still called the Denton program. It's been fully funded by him, and people have given through the years to help it out. Now, what a testimony. He didn't have a copy of the Bible with him, but he did have Bible verses up here. And in his moment of need, he was able, "He will never leave me nor forsake me." All right? Verse after verse that he would scribe. Sometimes he would pick up shards out in the workyard, burn sticks. He would put them in his pocket, take it back, and the ashes he would scrawl on the concrete or the block and write those Bible verses. Now, folks, the way that you become a light is not manufacturing a Christian phony facade. You become a light when you absorb your heart and life in the Word of God. So you live and breathe it. You live and breathe it. I've switched over the years my life verses. Is that okay to do that? My life verses have changed many, many times. My first life verse was John 3:16. No wonder everybody chooses that verse. Then it became Romans 8:28 because that was Dr. Hobbs' life verse. Then it became Ephesians 2:8-9, which I like to put that on my letterhead and stuff. Whenever I write somebody, I'll put Ephesians 2:8 because it's a strong gospel witness. But Philippians 3:10 has been one that has just meant so much, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. That doesn't sound like a very popular verse, but I want to tell you, it tells everything we need to know about our Lord and His power and His might. And I can know Him. Now, how do I get to know Him? This is how I get to know Him. It's through the written Word. And it's there tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. How many of you can give testimony that through the years you've learned more and more new things about your Lord from studying the Scripture? Can we not all raise our hands and say, I just didn't see that before? That's the beauty of the Word of God. It's always fresh. Now, you can go to your refrigerator and you can look in there and you say, oh, there's potato salad from 2 weeks ago. I wonder if it's still good. Please don't eat it. Please don't eat it. All right? Have you ever heard of ptomaine poisoning? Yeah, that loves eggs and mayo and all that stuff that's in there. Bad stuff. It'll make you really sick. All right? And there's other things that you can get, you know. You have to clean out your refrigerator. My chickens are happy when it's refrigerator clean-out day because we take it out there and give it to them, and they peck at it, and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. All right? They got steak the other night, leftover steak that had been in the refrigerator for a while, and it was unclaimed, and so it went out to the chickens, and they ate it up. Okay, so we have steak-fed chickens. Fooey on the grain-fed. We went to steak on that. Now, I hope that you're not missing this. Don't miss this. You will not be a light. You will not be a fire for God if you're not spending time in the Word. Well, you don't know how busy I am. Then you're too busy. You're too busy. If you can't spend time in God's Word and grow in the Word. My personal practice is I read from the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is built on the Old Testament. So I often will pair a book with in the Old Testament with another book in the New Testament and read out of both of them. Now, sometimes it doesn't always work out. You know, you get into a book like, let's think of a big long one, Deuteronomy. All right? How many long books? Well, Luke is about the closest you can come. Acts is pretty long. But Deuteronomy is pretty long. All right, so you have to kind of work it out, read more verses in Deuteronomy, and read some. I think it's a good practice. And it was Dr. Bob Jones Jr. that came to a preacher boy's class and said that had been his practice for 50 years. And I picked it up from there. And I said, you know, that's a pretty good idea. And so you can read the Psalms and work your way through the music of the New Testament. You can go to things like Hebrews and pair that up with the Psalms. Or you can do prophecy books. Read Isaiah with Revelation. Or Daniel with Revelation. You can always do that and you'll find that they work together. It's beautiful. One is built upon the other. And your soul can be refreshed by the good food of the Word of God. That's how we hold the torch. Who lit the torch? Who can tell me? He's the light, right? So let your light so shine before men. It became my light when I became a Christian. Do I hear an amen on that one? His light became my light. I don't have a light in and of myself. Jesus is the light, but I have to hold forth that light. And I've got to let it light my pathway as I go. Because the moment I set down my light, I get sloppy with my Bible time. I get sloppy and start missing days studying the Word of God. Guess what happens to my, the first thing that happens? My attitude goes south. Raise your hand if you agree with me there. The attitude goes south. You can tell it when you're talking to people, the attitude you get. There's somebody not spending time in God's Word. God's Word acts like a tenderizer. Tenderizer. You ever put meat tenderizer on your chicken and your beef and so forth like that? I put a little extra on mine because I like tender meat. Well, that's what we need. The Word of God acts like a tenderizer. It tells you what you are. But it also tells you who Christ is. And also that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. All these things work together when we spend time in God's Word. So, very quickly, just a few things here that I want to leave you with. Number one, make reading and studying the Bible a part of your daily routine. Now, some people get bent out of shape already. Oh, you said that word. Routine. That sounds way too much like exercise. What are you exercising? You're exercising your spiritual muscles. They will atrophy if you don't exercise them. Just like your muscles when you don't exercise. When you don't do your walking, when you don't go ride your bicycle, when you don't go swim, or you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, and you become a couch potato, your health will go down very quickly. We need to be spiritually exercised in a routine in God's Word. Even if it's just a paragraph, let it guide your thoughts and actions for the day. Make it a regular practice that when you study a passage of Scripture, you can take, for instance, Psalm 119. It's so wonderfully divided into equal verses. After each one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 sections of 8 verses each. And you can say, all right, the one that we did from verse 105, first verse in this section. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Where do I learn the righteous judgments from? The Word of God. All right. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. I'm afflicted. What does that mean? Well, that's an old-fashioned word for, I know I've got some problems. I'm afflicted. I'm not thinking right. I'm not doing right. Well, what will refresh you? The word. Every one of these verses fits. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Think about that for just a moment. They set a snare for me. They're trying to trap me. What kept me out of the trap? The precepts of the Word of God. The Lord, if you follow His Word, will keep you out of traps. Keep you out of trouble. When you get careless and your attitude goes south and you're not studying the Word of God like you should be, you're not going to see the trap. You're not going to see the leaves covering the rope like they did in Vietnam, where they had the punji sticks. Well, I've read stories about that. It's just unbelievable. Dug these pits. Sometimes they'd put a tiger down in there, cover them up. Shallow, you know, lightweight bamboo. Thick overgrowth on top of it. You stepped on it. You went down inside there. You couldn't get out. The pit was too deep. Punji sticks had poison dipped on the end of them. They'd drive them down in the ground. And when you stepped through that, you would be speared. And even if they were to pull you off, you'd be dead. Because that poison would circulate through your system, and within a day or two, you'd be so sick, and finally you would die. All right? So what did they do? They sent out a squad, and all they did was look for tripwires, look for traps. That was their job. They had learned what they did. Up at the fort, up Rucker, Alabama, and several forts that are around that area, all they did was training. Out here at Eglin Air Force Base, Herbert Field, they trained them in jungle warfare and what to look for. They had a whole manual of what the Viet Cong does, and they had to memorize it because it would save their life. This book is a manual that will save your life. But you got to be attached to it. You got to hold it forth like a light as you're working your way through life. It will light your way. But you got to have the torch with you. Got to have the torch with you. Secondly, very quickly, I'm almost done here. Secondly, memorize Scripture. Recall is a wonderful help in time of need. At what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. How many of you have ever quoted that verse in a moment of fear? I have quoted that verse I don't know how many times. I've had some fearful things happen to me in my life, and I've been scared half to death, and I just say, at what time I am afraid, Lord, I'm going to trust in You. That verse of Scripture has been a godsend and a help. Safety is of the Lord. There's tons of Bible verses that are applicable in events of life, but if you don't know them, they're of no help. So memorize the Scripture. And then thirdly, study the Bible with others, husbands and wives. Brother Lindsay has been, for years and years, goes down there to La Hacienda and meets with the workers down there, and they've done Bible studies together. That's an excellent, excellent outreach. I mean, it touches me that he wants, and they love him to come. And of course, he gets free trips and salsa. Oh, you bring them donuts.
All the time.
But what a wonderful opportunity. How about at work? Break time. What about activities of life? When your grandkids are with you, to just take time to reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ and talk about Him and how wonderful He is and how God watches over us and that He sent His only begotten Son to take away our sinful heart. Those are the kind of times that are precious. And this third thing, study the Bible with others, helpful study guides that are trusted individuals, and be careful about that. Not everybody that writes a book on the Bible is someone that should be trusted. You got to have wisdom. You can go to a bookstore and find 1,000 books that aren't worth anything. They need to be burned. But there are some good Bible studies. We have devotional books that we put out here that are excellent. Give you just an encapsulated 3 paragraphs is about all they do. And they talk about the Word. And they exalt Christ. Those are the things that we need to be doing to strengthen our soul. So when you get that phone call in the middle of the day, so-and-so just passed away, the family needs you to come. You're prepared because you spent time with the Lord that day. You're not, oh no, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And you panic. Well, you're no help to anybody. It's like somebody that panics in an event where somebody gets injured and everybody runs away because they're sickened by the sight that they see. But then there are those that go in there and help them, whether they're missing a limb or something else, and they can help them and get them out. Praise God for EMS and people that do that. Or just people that aren't EMS that just get in there and help. But we need to be that way, spiritually prepared, to be able to help those in time of need. So remember those three things. Number one, make reading and studying the Bible a part of your daily routine. That's taking up the light. The Word of God is the light. Jesus Christ is the light. Take it up. Number two, memorize it. Recall. Repeat it over and over again, the verse that you studied that morning. You don't have to do a whole paragraph necessarily. You can choose a thought out of there and memorize it. And then thirdly, study the Bible with others. Use helpful study guides by trusted individuals to deepen your understanding. Those are ways in which the light of the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Bless it tonight. Encourage us, Father. Strengthen us. May we not just be Sunday Bible thumpers. Help us to every day of the week be spending time in your precious word. Have a diligent, systematic study of the Word of God. Help us, Father, not to fail in that regard. Help us to know that the light comes from Thee, not ourselves. And may we be a light for Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.